Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Today, he wasn't going to tell us, and then he said, all right, I'll tell you. Kulik's playing. But he said, this isn't all on Kulik, and I want to stress that. He goes, there are a lot of other people who could be in the same boat. And he goes, I have had discussions with many of them, including McLeod. And so, you know, he wanted to see how Kulik would respond. He goes, I didn't talk to him yesterday because I wanted to see how he responded to what was happening to him in practice. And he must have liked the response he saw because he's going to be in the lineup today against Ottawa.
Paul, today, Lindy was on the morning show with Jeremy and Joe. I really enjoyed listening to him because he sounded like, I mean, he was energized. It wasn't like in a mean tone. It was more of a sense of urgency. And what I got from him was when he was talking about guys stepping up and when there's opportunity for you to take hold of that, it really felt to me like, and I know coaches do this sometimes. I don't normally get this from Lindy. It really felt like he was sending a message to his room and those guys through our show, through WGR and through Jeremy and Joe, the way he was talking.
Yeah, absolutely. And this is, I had Yuri Kulik for the pregame show last game, and one of the things we talked about is this being an opportunity for him. You know, with Josh Norris out a couple of months, I mean, Kulik can jump into that number one center slot or number two center slot if Thompson slides over to center and stays there, which he was at center the last game. But last year, Kulik did take advantage of it. He actually excelled and got better when they moved him to center and he was playing with Thompson, and things were going well for him. And but, you know, he, along with most of the other players, have just not been there whatsoever in the first three games. It has to be better. You can't rest on your laurels and say, well, you know, last year I got better and I've had a really good second half of the season and they were counting on me in all situations. And, you know, this is hopefully for him a learning experience at a very young age. And you'll see a different Yuri Kulik in this game against the Ottawa Senators. But this, you know, with an injury to Norris, he can take control here. He can make, you know, show Lindy Ruff, hey, whether Norris is in the lineup or not, I belong in the top six. And that's what I was drafted to do. And that's what I was developed to do in Rochester. And it's his job to show Ruff that, hey, I can be part of that top six for a long time to come.
Paul Hamilton on the West Hur Hotline. All right, Paul, we just talked about the Sabres not having a lead. The Rangers, they have no goals in any of their first three home games. First team in NHL history to accomplish that unfortunate feat, which is they've not scored a goal in their first three home games to start a season. I bring them up because they come to Buffalo. They're all over the Sabres in the first period in the opener. Alex Lyon kind of saves them, but they do wind up with four goals that night. How about on the back end? What have you seen from the mantra has been from Lindy, we got to make sure that we keep pucks out of our net. We got to play better at the blue line. It felt like they were very, very confident in being able to do that. But what have you seen from that group so far this year?
Well, that was basically a 1-0 boring game until very late.
Yep.
In that game. It was both teams were cutting off chances. The Sabres were playing pretty well defensively. Lyon was playing pretty well. The Sabres just had to find their feet after maybe the first half of the first period. Did that. It really limited the chances. I'm thinking back. I believe it was four or five shots they gave up. Excuse me, in the second period, and didn't give up very many chances. But the Rangers were doing the same thing. They were cutting off the Sabres. I mean, think about it. They got 37 shots on Shesterkin. Did he really have to make all that many difficult saves? I mean, he didn't stand on his head by any means.
No.
He just made the saves he had to make.
He saw everything cleanly.
Right.
Everything.
Right. The Sabres weren't around the net. He made the saves that he had to. No goofy goal went by him. And so that it was more an offensive output. They got the second. It was a giveaway by Krebs near the end of the third period. That was the second goal, and they wound. And then a tip in was the third, a minute later, and then they got an empty netter. And the same thing in Boston. As bad as they played in Boston, and they were horrendous, especially in the first period, skiing out shots 17-2. The whole period was in their end. until 3 seconds were left in the game, it was still a 2-1 game. I mean, they could have scored with the goaltender pulled and gotten points out of that game. And that brings us to another point. They got to find a way to get points in that game. Even though they played poorly, by the end of the game, there they are sitting there with 5 minutes left down a goal. You got to find a way to get points in a game like that, even though you didn't play your best. Good teams come away in that game with points, and that's why they're good teams. And, you know, they couldn't do that, and then the empty netter was with 3 seconds left. So, you know, they gave up 3 goals in that game, 1 an empty netter. They were horrendous, but Lyon was fantastic, and they still basically were playing a 2-1 game. So, really, what are we talking about here? They pretty much could be 3-0 just as easily as they're 0-3 if a couple of things went their way or they played a little bit better offensively, because they've been sitting in these games 1 goal down for a lot of the game.
The Sabres are one of 3 teams to not have a goal yet on the power play. And by the way, the other two, very interesting, the other two, the Canucks and the Maple Leafs. The Maple Leafs are 0-8, by the way, to start the year on the power play. The Sabres are 0-11. They've had the most chances without scoring a goal of any team in the league. 0-11 to start the power play. Paul, what is going wrong?
Any power play that has Rasmus Dahlin as its quarterback should be a phenomenal power play. And it just has not materialized since basically he's been here. I mean, with the talent that he has and the vision that he has, but it just seems like he presses on the power play and then winds up making a bad play, or he doesn't shoot enough, so they don't respect the shot because they're thinking, well, we don't have to because he's not going to shoot all that often. And they're always leaning towards Thompson, and most teams have taken Thompson away now. That's why I would have liked to, you know, one of the things with if Norris could have stayed healthy, I wonder if that power play could have come into shape with him in one circle and Thompson in the other. I wonder if that threat would have really helped develop the number one power play unit. We're not going to see that. McLeod was over there for a while. That, I don't know why. If Kulik's in your lineup, it's got to be him. He's got a cannon for a shot. You want somebody in that circle with a left-handed shot. I think, you know, if it's going to be successful, it's got to be him. But Rasmus Dahlin, maybe he's just got to calm down and not get so frustrated. He is a frustrating – I mean, look at the penalty he took late in that game in Colorado to basically take out any chance the Sabres had of coming back. It was just a stupid frustration penalty that he took. He takes those all the time. He wears his heart on his sleeve. He wants to win so badly, and he's so frustrated with the losing that then he does stupid things. And, you know, that's why I think he gets frustrated with the power play. We asked him about it the other night after Colorado game. He doesn't know what to say. It's like, we got to be better. You know, and I said, well, do you have to work harder winning battles? He goes, we've got to do everything harder. You know, I don't think he just knows what to say, but I'm baffled. Any power play that's run by Rasmus Dahlin should be a good power play.
Paul, where is this team with notable injuries right now?
Samuelson didn't skate.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Today, but he skated on his own. Ruff said he expects he might be able to play by the weekend. It looks like Benson is playing today. I think he's going to still have to wear that plastic shield on his face. But he is. That will help, having him in the lineup. So, and if people think the Sabres have to make a move, they don't. He never wound up on IR, so he was still on the roster. So they don't have to make a move. I imagine it was optional today, so I couldn't tell. Maybe Dunn would come out of the lineup and Benson would go in. But instead of Doan on that line with Thompson and Tuck, I would imagine Benson will step in like he did in practice yesterday. And that makes another line better with Doan going to another line. You know, if Zucker's out there with McLeod and you put Doan out there with them, I think that's going to be a very useful line. The best McLeod played is when he played with Zucker and Greenway last year. And that was an excellent line. And I think Doan's similar to Greenway and that type of a player. So I would think Benson can only help in this situation playing against the Senators tonight.
Greenway still a little bit away, right? He came back to practice, but not playing
yet. Yeah, they
just
got to get him some practices now. I chatted with him yesterday. Folks will hear him on the pregame show. He's basically no pain, very frustrated that he had to have another surgery, that the surgery in December was not successful and they had to do it again. But he said he's in a good place right now. Practice went well. It was the first time he'd been skating. Rehab practices, but that was the first time with the team. He felt it went well. But as Ref said, I mean, he hasn't played a game since, what is it, last December, I believe, somewhere in there. So you got to get him some practices and that type of thing. Lukanen, don't be surprised if he winds up in Rochester for some rehab starts. He's only played one period since last April. So, you know, he was just out there now. He just left the ice from the optional morning skate. He said yesterday, too, that he was not in any pain anymore. He felt good. So I would think, and Ruff did admit that's a possibility. So I would think within the next half week to a week, you might see him head down to Rochester and get a couple of rehab starts.
And then trying to look out who else. There was one other I was going to ask you about. Oh, yeah, Kesselring. Kesselring, anything on him right now?
All Ruff said yesterday is he's improving, but you know, we have not seen him in practice or anything like that. They definitely are missing him. He hasn't played his first game as a Buffalo Sabre. He certainly would help. One thing, Ruff, and he clarified it for me yesterday, because I was a little puzzled after the game when he told me they were fatigued in the third period. And it's the third game of the year, and you haven't had a back-to-back. How the heck are you fatigued? He was talking about his top 4D. He wasn't really playing Bryson and Johnson all that much by the third period. He was rolling 4D. And he explained, he goes, it was the 4D that were starting to get fatigued, and they weren't breaking out of the zone as crisply, and that's why they were having trouble in the third period. But, hey, Johnson and Bryson, they're NHL players. If your four are getting fatigued, you dress them. You got to put them in there. If they're not good enough to be in there, good enough to be on your depth chart, then find somebody that is. But you can't just keep running out fatigued players and then, you know, having that happen. But, you know, I was glad I asked him, because it wasn't making any sense to me to hear that the whole team was fatigued. It was basically because he played the heck out of his top four defensemen.
I am looking, and I think this is right what I'm looking at. So the Sabres are 0 for 11 on the power play. They're also 11 for 11 killing penalties, though,
they
to
are.
Be honest, which is interesting.
Yeah, they are.
They're one of only four teams that have not allowed a power play goal. The others are the Bruins, the Panthers, and the Rangers.
That's crazy. They're, like, horrendous on the power play and one of the best on the penalty kill.
Yes.
And
it's amazing.
Have done a very good job of that. And Lyon has helped, too. You've heard the old saying that your goaltender has to be your best penalty killer. And when he's had to make a good save on the penalty kill, he has. But he makes the good save, and there's somebody there to clear the rebound. You know, the other team's not getting 2-3 kicks at the can. You know, it's like, all right, he had to make a good save from the slot, but all right, clear the rebound. Get rid of it. Get it down ice. Whatever. Matter of fact, the Sabres actually had a couple of opportunities shorthanded the other game. They had a 2-on-1 in Boston that Tuck didn't put away. And again, you get those opportunities. I know McLeod had one. You get those opportunities, a 2-on-1 shorthanded. You capitalize on that. Instead of being a goal down, you're tied. I mean, as bad as they played, that's the thing. If you just convert a chance like that, or get a break or something like that, even though you're playing poorly, you could have gotten points out of these games because you were only one goal down.
Well, they're 0-3. They need some points now. No Brady Tkachuk tonight, by the way, for the Ottawa Senators as well. He's going to be out sometime.
Yeah, for
so
over
you're not
a month.
Get,
a month or over
the,
for him. So that, right, that
Tkachuk
really
and,
hurts them.
Yeah, Tkachuk and Norris, really good friends. I know that was a big deal when he was traded. But Dylan Cousins back tonight, right, obviously.
Yep.
And I know he did return last year. But, yeah, that's a big deal for them. You're right, on the Senators' side. By the way, I looked it up. In case you were curious, I don't know if you knew this or not, the longest streak to start a season without a power play goal in NHL history, 51 power plays not long ago, the 2014 Maple Leafs, the team that wound up getting Austin Matthews.
Yes, I didn't know that. That is interesting, and I don't know if you know this. The Buffalo Sabres, in their history, have never started 0-4-0.
Okay.
They have started 0-3-0, but they have never started 0-4-0.
Let's hope that doesn't happen tonight. 7 o'clock downtown. Paul, have all the coverage at PHAM1717 and WGR550.com. Thanks a lot, buddy. Have a great day.
No problem. Take care.
You got it. Joe Kelly, how about that? Did you see that? The 0 for, did you know that? 0 for 11 on the power play, but 0 for 11 against them on the power play. Like, they've killed off. They've killed off 11 straight penalties. They've not scored on 11 straight power plays.
No, that's pretty, the season. It's pretty remarkable. I had no idea. That's quite the stat. You can you can cancel it out, but you can't do it yourself. That's pretty interesting, you know?
It is. It is. I mean, if you had to be really good at one, I would choose penalty kill more than power play.
Yeah, if you had to pick,
because,
for
you know,
sure.
You know what I mean? But you got to get some goals on the power play. One of three teams. And how about the Maple Leafs not scoring yet on the power play this year?
Yeah, yeah. Pretty interesting. It's weird to see these, like, not shutouts, but power play shutouts and stuff like that. Like, it's just interesting. It's not what you would expect.
Rangers have not scored a goal in three straight home games to start the year. That is an NHL record, the first time that's ever happened. And the Sabres are looking for their first lead of the season. A lot of things going on. It's early, obviously, in the National Hockey League. They need a win tonight, though. And I think Lindy's, it sounds to me like the sense of urgency is really growing right now, and it should. There's no doubt about that. Okay, what we're going to do now is we're going to take a timeout. When we come back, Adrian Autry, Red, he is the head coach of Syracuse University men's basketball team, and he's going to join us on the Wester Hotline. We're going to talk about the October 25th exhibition against the University of Buffalo. We just heard from George Helkovich, the third head coach at UB. Now we're going to hear from Syracuse head coach Adrian Autry after this timeout on WGR.
It's not coming from Brett Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.